Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we should start now. Everybody's there, more or less. Let me briefly introduce you to the topic of this morning, which is public registration and legal deposit systems, which is actually two topics in one, because public registration is somewhat different from legal deposit systems, which you can also see from the historical background. Legal and also from a study which I want to mention, which was done by WIPO recently on both issues, and which was based on a questionnaire submitted to member states, and 48 member states, which is around one third of the member states of WIPO, responded. And on the basis of these responses, WIPO did a huge compilation, and there's a lot of information available in this study on public registration and legal deposit systems. The origins of legal deposit systems could even be found, and there is a nice connection to our keynote speaker, the director of the Library of Alexandria, because many say that the first legal deposit which existed happened in the Library of Alexandria, where all documents, as I read, coming into Egypt were kind of confiscated. The originals were kept by the employees of the library, and copies were given back to the owners, and thereby the Library of Alexandria had a huge collection of everything which had come into Egypt. Others, or many say, also refer to the French King François Ier, who is generally considered as one initiator, at least in Europe, of a legal deposit system on the basis of a regulation of 1537, regulation of Montpellier. He introduced the obligation to deposit everything published in France at the king's library, and the main aim was preservation of cultural heritage. And other legal systems followed later. But what may be interesting also is that such legal deposit system in France was for some time then used for censorship purposes. And that's why, what is interesting, during the French Revolution, the mandatory character of legal deposit was abolished on the grounds that it would be against freedom of expression or free speech. I think that's a quite interesting idea. Later it was reintroduced, but you can see also these possible interactions with different things like censorship. Again, the main aims of legal deposit are preservation, but also delivery of indicators for national bibliographies, and of course communication of the documents in interlibrary loan or other lending to the public. And there may be others today. In contrast, the registration for copyright purposes is much more focused. It is rooted in the copyright system, and you all know that there are two systems of copyright protection in the world: the copyright system, and which is which was born in the United Kingdom with a stationery's copyright, and is applied in mostly common law countries, Anglo-American, Anglo-Saxon countries, and on the other hand, the continental countries, the countries of the droit d'auteur or author's rights system, while the copyright system was always based on a philosophy where the rights would have to be granted by the state, initially at least, and you would need some formality in order to acquire the rights. This was different in the continental system, which was initially based on natural law theories, or at least inspired by them, according to which the creator would automatically get a right of control in his creation without any further act by the state. Therefore, it is clear that there was no formality necessary in order to acquire author's rights. And still in history, copyright system, well, let's say the Berne Convention was mainly inspired by countries of the continental system, and also practical reasons have been at the roots of the principle that there should not be any formalities required for the acquisition of authors' rights. Practical reasons, because especially in countries where there is no tradition of registration, the authors would not even know that this would be necessary to acquire copyright in foreign countries, and they would not be able to, at least in times where there was no internet yet, to get the information what to do in order to register in different foreign countries. And maybe it would be too costly to do that in all the different foreign countries, etc. So there were, it was seen as a big stumbling block for international protection, and that's why the principle of no formalities was introduced into the Bern Convention. And as a consequence, all the countries of the copyright system who adhered to the Bern Convention and later treaties with the same principle also abolished the mandatory way of registration or formalities. But since they already had their copyright offices who did the registration, and it was of course useful for purposes of having a prima facie evidence, they kept what they already had established, because establishing a copyright office, a registry, is quite sophisticated work. So that's why even today you have usually registration systems as a rule in voluntary ones in systems of the copyright, countries of the copyright system, but much less so in countries of the continental system. So let me finish with this as a general short introduction and background to our theme one today. And I was told that I should not introduce the speakers of the panel for lack of time, but we you may find more details on their biographies on the internet, on the WIPO website regarding this conference. And that's why I simply will now give the floor to our first speaker, Mr. Antonio Santos, who is the director of the National Library of the Philippines in Manila.